call the regular common council meeting to order of June 16th. Madam Deputy Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
She's going to be here in 2 seconds.
Okay, Alderman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda, as it always is a citizen's comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please come forward, give us your name and address for the record. Come on, don't be bashful. I know you're out there.
My name's Melanie Worthy. My address is 7058 Linder Drive. I'm not on the agenda. Our issue is not on the agenda tonight. My concern is about the sidewalk on Bren Drive, proposed sidewalk. We just found out about this early in May, and so we're kind of scrambling to get the right committee to have reconsidered. Out of the 8 homes, there are 7 occupied, 6 of which are opposed to this project. I've been in touch with the alderman, trying to express our views and have him see our point. But my concern is we're going to the meeting on Thursday, Continued Streets, something.
Complete Streets.
Complete Streets. And I'm afraid that they'll send us back to Common Council, which doesn't meet for another 2 or 3 weeks, and the project may begin during that time. So I'm hoping that we can, whoever is in charge of that, can postpone the beginning of that project until we can get our voices heard. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Joel Hine. I'm with 7337 Run Drive. I'm here also about the sidewalk project. We were never notified of this even coming about. We found out about it by the alderman knocking on our door, telling us that, guess what, you're getting sidewalks. And I think that we should have been maybe notified and told what was going on and that it was even a proposal. And I think it's to the point now where at the last meeting we went to, which I don't even think we should have been at, we found out that the thing has already been budgeted. It's progressing to the point where they've already got it staked out, and it's being done with money that was left over from a other building project that didn't want to be turned back to the federal government. I'm just concerned that we're the oldest part of that subdivision, and the 2 adjoining subdivisions that were built after us had sidewalks put in. Ours never did. We never were told that we were going to have sidewalks, and now I know they're trying to make everything go together, but even the other subdivisions that do have sidewalks, nobody walks on them. They all walk in the street with their dogs. Where the sidewalks would go are so close to our homes. I think people are a little apprehensive of walking that sidewalk because you're so close to people's garages. You can look right in their front window. And it's kind of awkward. And I would just like to be able to have the chance to have our voices heard and see what the majority rule is. I think that we should have a voice in it because it affects us mostly. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm older than you, so you've got to wait here.
All right.
Okay.
Age before beauty.
I don't know about that.
Hi. Fred Clements, 9399 Cobblestone Way, Franklin. I also would like to speak about the sidewalks issue. Now, some of you may say, why is Fred speaking about that? He doesn't even live in the area. During the years that I have had the honor and privilege of serving the citizens of Franklin, I had a chance, of course, to talk to many of them about what is it they most like about Franklin. What don't they like? What do they like? And I would say that by far, probably 90% of people give as the number one thing that they like about Franklin the somewhat rural character, the somewhat rural nature of Franklin, that it isn't like the city of Milwaukee where there's pavement and asphalt and concrete and barriers and barricades all over the place. They like to have that more rural flavor that Franklin has. And I think by having sidewalks in areas where they really aren't needed, where they really aren't necessary, I think just adds to that urban sprawl. It adds to that too much concrete, too much asphalt. I think it takes away the rural character of an area. Now, do I think there shouldn't be sidewalks on major thoroughfares like 76th Street or 27th Street or Ross and Drexel? Of course not. Those areas are dangerous enough that, of course, you have to have sidewalks there. It only makes sense. But in areas where they aren't needed, the more central to the neighborhood areas, I don't think you need sidewalks. I think it actually detracts from the neighborhood. I know some might say, well, it's a safety issue. It's safer to have sidewalks. These people who signed the petition have lived there, most of them, for more than 20 years. They haven't had a single accident. They haven't had a single case where people have been hit while walking along the side of the road. Even today, in the areas of that subdivision where there are sidewalks, more people are walking alongside the road than they are using the sidewalk. So I think it's an unnecessary expense. I'm sure the city has lots of other areas that money could be directed to if there is extra money left over, rather than putting in a sidewalk that, number one, is unnecessary, number two, is unsightly, and number three, isn't wanted by the people who live in the area. So I'd ask you to do what you can to turn down that project. Thanks.
I've heard twice now about a petition. I haven't seen one. Does someone have a copy of it? Has it been turned into the clerk?
Can I go now for it?
Go ahead.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I would like to say something to the mayor and to the council, and I wish you would consider what I'm about to say here. As everybody knows, I've been associated with the senior citizen group and senior citizens themselves for ever since I retired, which is 21 years ago when I retired. And through the years, these crank calls have gotten worse and worse and worse, especially to Franklin's, to the seniors, citizens, because they are trying to scam you for money or whatever. And I think I came up with an idea that I wish you would all consider. And if you do consider it favorably, I wish you here in Franklin you would start a movement helping me out on this. About a month ago, I was receiving calls, and I know they were, I knew they were scam calls, from a certain person. Later on, I found out he was in Florida. And so I engaged him in conversation on purpose. And so after he told me what he was trying to sell me, I said to him, I said, well, you know, I never do business over the phone, but I would like to meet you up at the closest restaurant here in Franklin. And my intentions were to meet him up there and have a plainclothes cop sitting on the side and have the guy arrested. But then he said, well, I live in Florida. I said, well, then it's pretty hard for us to do business. I said, I would prefer that you not call me anymore. So the very next night, the same guy with the same accent called me and started talking again, because I had talked to him the night before. And so he was trying to sell me the same thing. And so I said, well, I told you last night that I was not going to do business over the phone. I will meet you up at the closest restaurant. Otherwise, don't call me anymore. So he called me about two or three nights later, and I said the same thing to him. Now, my point is this. If we could let all the senior citizens, not only in Franklin, but throughout the country, know that these people are scamming them, and senior citizens are very easily scammed. I've talked to several people that have been scammed. Not, I have never been, because, well, I think you can recognize a person when they're for real. But if we could start some kind of a movement here in Franklin that would give these scammers that particular answer, I'll meet you up at the closest restaurant. And then if they agree to meet with you, you have a plainclothes cop sitting on the side ready to arrest them or whatever might be necessary. So I wish you would consider what I've told you and move forward with something, because this is so ridiculous, and it has been ridiculous for several years, that the seniors are the ones that are being scammed the most, because we are the most trusting. So consider what I've said. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. And for the record, I get four a day.
Excuse me?
I get four calls a day.
Well, then why don't you ask them to meet you at a restaurant?
I don't even answer the phone.
You never go to restaurants, can't you tell?
Mr. City Attorney.
Just a thought, that with that particular MO, I'd also ask the police department to have someone watching your house, because with white pages, et cetera, online, you will be at the restaurant. Somebody might be at your house.
Anyone else wishing to speak on any matter? Who are you?
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I wish you people would use your mics a little bit better. Thank you. What I'd like to bring up is the sidewalk issue. Most of the time, when people want something, you always ask them who the majority is, and the majority usually rules. In this case, there was no ruling, and it's kind of a disaster to do this. And an example is the $35,000 that you spent someplace, and the majority didn't win there either. And this Kayla thing that's going on, there's only 200 people that really want it, and there's 35,000 other people, 35,000 in the city of Franklin, and nobody wants it, and you keep doing this to us. We need somebody that's going to listen to all the citizens, not a minority of people. This is ridiculous. One of the issues I've got with, I think they reported that there was $40,000 for the sidewalk. If you take that $40,000 and repair Imperial, where it's in a disaster condition from 77th to 76th Street, it's been an issue for the last 10 years, and DPW was working on private property on that corner instead of doing what they should be. They also were working on some creek, Whitnall Creek, with removing some rocks. Now, all this stuff that they do on private property should not be done unless they do the first work, what's wrong with the road, fix the things that are wrong and can be fixed. We shouldn't be working on private property. Even though this rock situation was they can't afford it, we'll put it on this tax bill. This is ridiculous. Incidentally, I also reported some time ago where there are people more worthy of having their name put on different things. I don't know if you remember Jim Ryder. You know who he is? Jim Ryder, he was the wolf man?
No.
He took care of the wolf farm? Okay. He spent all his life taking care of the wolves, and we don't even honor the man in any way. Also, he was a member of my outfit in the Wisconsin Air National Guard and went to active duty with the Air Force with us. He's a gentleman, and we should honor him some way, too. Besides, like Kayla, we shouldn't be doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Ms. Runty.
Michelle Runty, 235 West Coventry Drive. I did not come up here, I planned to actually come up here, but based on the last comments, I feel that I needed to. First of all, there's more than 200 people that do support Kayla's Playground for many, many reasons, one of which it is a playground for all abilities, not only with children with disabilities, but for children and families of all abilities. Our Facebook page has 1,700 followers, well over 200. We have many businesses that are supporting us locally and in the surrounding areas. We plan on building in September, and I can't say enough about the staff and the Common Council and the mayor on their support as well. We have colleges that are representing and coming out to help build. We'll have 300 builders per day helping to build our playground as a community, bringing community together to support something that's really good and positive and something that we can walk away and be very proud of in our community. So, Leroy, I invite you to come and help us build our playground in September. You being a pivotal point, or pivotal person, you attend a lot of Common Council meetings and a lot of commission meetings. You're very well known at being at a lot of these meetings, and I invite you to come out and help build the playground and see the impact that Kayla has done and had on our community. I welcome you to come out and have a conversation with many people that truly believe that it is an honor to have the playground in her memory and her name, because she touched a lot of people and a lot of life lessons were taught. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Runty. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close the citizens' comment period and we'll move on to item C, approval in a minute. So item C1, there is a revised copy in front of you.
That's my only copy.
Oh, okay.
Can I email it to you later?
We need the signatures.
It's the only one I have.
I'm sorry.
There is a copy with engineering.
Oh, Glenn copy. Thank you, Glenn. We'll give a copy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so June 2nd, Common Council meeting revised. Any additions or corrections? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Just the one that had the correction, maybe it wasn't said directly on the motion, but the one on G6-2 table for the RAPKE, I think it's important to note that it was tabled due to the they needed to contact Payne and Dolan, the property owner. It is not mentioned in that, but that was the whole reason. And I think that's a really valid point. So it's, you know, you have to have the property owner on board before you can do it. So I would just like to insert that it was tabled for them to contact, because that was the first question I said, where they contacted. And that was the reason for tabling it, my reason to want to table it. So.
Is there a motion to approve as amended and amended?
So moved.
One of you say second.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Also in your packet in the minutes from the June 2nd Common Council meeting. June 10th, sorry. I didn't turn enough pages. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We move on to G1. Consent agenda, any requests for separate action? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Items A through E.
Second.
The motion is to approve items A through E. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, standards findings of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of Tuckaway Country Club for a special exception. We need the original.
I need the original.
Ma'am? Got a pinch hitter going.
Mayor, are you reading up the question?
Thank you. Alderwoman Willow.
Just a quick question on this, on who will verify the federal permit, because I don't see the permits from the Corps, and I know they're behind. So who in staff verifies before the other departments come in and give fill permits and construction permits? Who verifies the permits?
The answer to that question will be Mr. Deagle. Okay. So item G2, now that we've discussed it, standards and findings upon the application of Tuckaway Country Club for the natural resources special exception.
Normally, we just ask the applicant. We usually don't call the agencies ourselves. We just ask the applicant if there were any other permits and when are they going to obtain them.
So would the city be giving permits? Because I want to know, this. I've seen this happen in the past. Coordination between the permitting department, which usually is in engineering, and the planning department, which is approving the plans. Are you coordinating that so you know that you've got a permit from the federal government? Because this is a navigable waterway. So I just want to make sure permits aren't given before you get those in hand. And if you're just asking the applicant, you're not contacting the Corps, how do you even know that they actually need one or not? I guess is how are you determining that?
Let me fix that. Is there a motion to adopt the standards and findings and decision of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of Tuckaway Country Club for a special exception to certain natural resource provisions of the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance, provided that documentation of all necessary federal permits are obtained by the engineering department before any work is started?
So moved.
I'll second.
I can make that motion, but that is already in the ordinance. So my question is, how are we determining that, and how can I be comfortable? Because I've seen, we've got an ordinance that already says that, but I've already seen the lack of coordination on that happening, so I'm calling it to the attention to address that. So that's fine. Okay.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G3, an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, SIC title, Roofing, Siding, Sheet Metalwork Without Outdoor Storage. The Plan Commission recommends denial. Is there a motion to, Mr. City Attorney?
Perhaps you'd want to hear from the City Zoning Administrator with regard to the rationale as to why the Plan Commission denied it, which if there is any motion accordingly by the Common Council, the rationale for denial should be set forth.
Is that the applicant?
No, yeah. The motion.
It might be good to hear their story before they leave.
Not appropriate.
We did explain the scenarios to them after the Plan Commission.
Mr. Deagle, your presentation.
Staff was recommending no, and the Plan Commission does as well. A number of issues. One that initiates this, SIC codes don't call out separately general office. It's always contractor specific, roofing and siding, painter, landscaper, carpenter, everything specific. And so everything that could be associated with that is in that category. So it's their office activities, their manufacturing activities, their assembly activities, everything that could be associated with that business is part of that SIC code. So as we use those SIC codes, we use them wholesale, as it all is, unless we say something specific or cut something out specific. And the only instance we've done that is for a few of them where we say no outdoor storage in the table of all those SIC codes. We haven't done anything separate except for drive-thrus, two instances. Otherwise, it's the SIC codes as defined in the manual by the federal government. And it's all those associated activities. The applicant was asking for roofing and siding SIC code to be a permitted use in the B3. If that was approved, that not only would allow the office that this applicant is envisioning, but it would also approve as a permitted use the construction, the manufacturing, the assembly, warehousing, everything else that might be associated with that activity as a permitted use in any property zone B3. Staff had concerns with that possibility, so those were some of the reasons. In addition, the UDO identifies all other similar, like I mentioned, roofing and siding is one, another SIC code for carpenter, another SIC code for painter. All those other ones are treated the same. Permitted use in M1, special use in B2 and B5 and OL1 or something like that. They're all treated the same. It wouldn't make sense to call this one out separate when there's so many similarities between roofing and siding and painting and carpentry and all those others. Plus, the final factor, staff's talked to the mayor and a couple other applicants have talked to us about this general office concern. So staff is in the process of putting something together to do a UDO text amendment to address general office all across the board, treat everybody the same. Probably to make it a permitted use in all the non-residential districts. We're planning on bringing a proposal to the council at the next council meeting, hoping to get permission from you guys to proceed with that. That would be a better way of addressing these kinds of issues. And so that's for all those reasons, staff was recommending no, and I believe generally the Plan Commission agreed with that as well.
They did agree with that. Alderman Willem.
This is just the office use of that aspect? Only the office, so they don't want to do the other things. So there's no office provision SIC code?
Nope. Not by us, not by the SICs.
There's no ability to have an office in a B3.
We'd have to carve it out separately, as that one applicant was asking, or to create a new category and apply it as we wish.
And is there a problem with having office in a B3?
No. It's just the way he was proposing it, the applicant was proposing it, it just says that B3 category, roofing and siding is a permitted use. It doesn't say anything about office. It just says roofing and siding contractors are a permitted use. You know, so that entails the office, the assembly.
I see how you're bundling it. I see how you're bundling it. But what I'm saying is if they're not bundling their use at one site and they only want the office portion of that, why wouldn't we want to allow the office portion of that business?
The point is that we do.
We think we do, but then that would be treating roofing and siding different than painters and landscape.
No, I'm not asking to do that. I'm just saying any office use associated with any painter, landscape,
yes,
or whatever.
That's what we're going to propose.
Right.
At the next council meeting.
Okay.
And hopefully get permission.
And the people that just left are...
We've told them that option. We thought that that would have a chance, and that we promised that we would take it to the council and hopefully get their permission to proceed.
As far as office in general, there's just flat no office use in that district?
Correct, in any district at all, except for some of the older PDDs where we did it the old-fashioned way, business park and industrial
park.
So
if you go through the SIT code, it says office use, not there. It's not
there
anywhere for any any type of business.
It's always related to, you know, social work or government office or a credit union or something. It's always a business, because that's where those SIC codes
are. And there's no general SIC office, no general. And we don't have the ability to actually create that category? Or we,
through a UDO text amendment? Yes, we could.
And that is not going to meet with their timeline? Is that why they're...
That was the one question I don't have an answer to. They're aware of all these options. How this plays with their timeline, I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Mayor.
How does this relate to, or maybe the new proposal relate to B1 and B2?
At this point in time, we're thinking we would apply it to there too, that all those Bs and probably M1, those are the ones that are going to be a little more tricky. At this point in time, staff is thinking it would be a permitted use in all the commercial districts, B1 through B7. Maybe the M1, maybe the institutional I1. Those are the ones that we're still looking at.
So even if the building doesn't allow for...
roughing and siding.
Whatever. If they wanted to move into that building with an office type of thing.
As long as it's just an office, at least at the way we're proposing it and going to present it to the council, as long, and we'll have to have a definition of what office is. As long as it meets that definition, doesn't matter what kind of business that office is for, as long as it truly is just an office, it would be a permitted use.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to table this item to the next council meeting.
Is that a motion?
That was a motion.
Is there a second to the motion to table?
I'll second it for discussion.
Discussion.
Why would we want to table?
We wouldn't. That's why you don't second it.
I thought he said he was going to come back with something, and therefore...
Not relating to this item.
A separate item. It would be a separate item that hopefully would cover this applicant as well.
Right. So if it came back and that was approved, then this could also be approved.
This would never be approved.
Correct.
You don't want to approve this. This allows a roofing contractor, if this was approved, this allows a roofing contractor to go anywhere in the B2 zoning district.
I thought they only wanted
B3.
I thought they only wanted the office portion of it.
Correct. But if...
So this would... If that other passed, then that would follow up and address it right after that, that they would have their office approval based on the what staff is going to do.
I understand, but if you, the presentation by Mr. Deedle was, I thought, relatively clear. If this change passes, then anyone with a roofing contractor business could go anywhere in B3 and
that.
Do their work in that district.
I'm not asking to pass this change. I'm asking to table the item. They can adjust it as they see fit when it comes back.
The correct action is to deny this application and next week take up the office. There's a motion on the floor to table. Mr. City Attorney.
Just procedurally, with regard to the general office, staff is still working on that. Staff's thought within the last month was that it would appear here. Now I understand it's the next meeting, but it's first here for direction from the Common Council to refer it to the Plan Commission for a public hearing to start the process, etc., would not be here at the next meeting for adoption.
I rescind my motion to table.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I rescind my second.
I'll make a motion to deny or to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, standard industrial classification, title number 1761, roofing, siding, and sheet metal work without outdoor storage to allow for such as a permitted use in the B3 Community Business District, Christos Cambros, applicant.
Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Mr. City Attorney.
I would suggest consideration of an amendment to that motion to include, for the specific reasons set forth by the city zoning administrator on the record at this meeting, and that the specific rationale and points made by Mr. Dito on the record here would be included in a note, a bracketed note following the motion, and would be part of the minutes.
I'll make that amendment.
Okay, is there a second to the amendment?
Aye. Well.
All right, any discussion on the amendment? All right, action on the amendment to add that language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries on the main menu. On the main menu. On the main motion. All those in favor of the motion as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Go to item G4, City of Franklin Black Grant. Community Development Black Grant Program for 2016. Who's doing this? Alderwoman Mayer is going to present.
No, I'm not. I just want to make a quick comment. Could I just move G8 to right after this?
Sure.
Talk about, thank you.
The item is in the packet. There's a, on page 87, there is a recommended CDBG application amounts there. The College Avenue one looks like it's a much better option for us this year than it was last year, in as much as we get in cooperation from Greenfield, and we no longer need to do the research that we originally were going to have to do. So that's included in there, as well as $5,000 for the health department for senior-related programming. The senior travel program is now going to be funded out of tax levy to avoid the issues that we've had with meeting the educational criteria. Questions? Alderman Mayer.
The senior citizen activities, is that, that includes the senior citizen group that Casper Green is?
No, that's not part of the senior BG Black Grant.
Oh, that is not part of it. So what are the senior citizen activities then?
That's the Southwest Interfaith Program.
Okay.
That provides us home assistance and other general assistance to seniors who are not able to do things on their own. That's within that $258,000. That's $5,000 for that. Then there's, I think it's your program for the homelessness. Oh, that was Alderman Evans. $3,000 for that, and the balance is the construction of the sidewalk on College Avenue. The $5,000 for the senior programs through the health department are those various programs that they offer throughout the year. Learn how not to fall. Immunization is not included in that. Educational programs for seniors, specifically geared towards seniors.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the two senior groups that we have are getting funding out of the budget.
And, tax levy dollars, yep.
And that'll total how much, one for what group and one for the next?
It's total $15,000. I think it's $10,000 for the seniors and $5,000 for the travel. No, or it's reversed. It's $10,000 for the travel program and $5,000 for the senior meal program.
Senior meal program. And what about the Clifford's?
That's the Clifford's.
Okay, not the senior meal program. That's
not
that,
this one, that's correct.
Okay.
This one is county run.
Because there's been confusion in the past that people have said, oh, you're getting rid of the senior meal program and you're not voting the senior meal program. So
yeah,
we should talk about it as the Clifford's Wednesday nights versus the senior meal program.
Right.
Okay.
Is there a motion to authorize Director of Administration to submit letters of support or applications if needed for the Southwest Interfaith Elderly Home Support Services Program for $5,000, the Oak Creek Salvation Army Homeless Program for $3,000, to submit a project application for senior health-related educational programming for $5,000, and to submit or work with Milwaukee County for an application for College Avenue Sidewalk Construction Project from 30, Well, I'll do it either way. I'll do 35th Street to 27th Street for $258,500. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Alderman Evans.
There's a paragraph in here that is asking for us, asking the council if they want to prioritize the items you just read, not including College Avenue. So do we find that that's necessary, or because that we would have to, do we need a separate motion to do that, or do we need to amend the motion?
Well, that's informational more than anything else, as far as I'm concerned.
Informational?
The discretional dollars are a total of, what, five and three, another eight, so it's $13,000.
If they possibly take some away, then we... The way I see this,
whatever you'd like to do, I have no issues.
And then I had one other option to suggest, and I'm not sure if we could do it. I mean, I had brought up before the last time we had a discussion that South Milwaukee was getting this type of funding for their farmers market, and you, on my behalf, contacted the mayor of South Milwaukee. And he said they got that because they needed extra seating for their farmers market, and that qualified because they were having concerts and things like that.
I said that?
No, you didn't say that. He said that. I have his email that he sent to you, and then Alderwoman Mayer was copied in on it, and Alderman Mayer, because of the districts for St. Martin's Fair. So I'm wondering if there's anything in this short amount of time we can try to think of that possibly we could put in for improving something for St. Martin's Fair. I mean, I think there's always something that can be improved. I'm not saying it would get the money would get approved, because it seems like it's very limited this year, but or else think about for next year if we're going to even possibly think about a potential farmers market.
We have one of those every month.
Well, I mean a central farmers market. But I'm I guess
we should talk offline. And Alderman, the Alderman's mayor can join us on that conversation.
Yeah.
But we can't because of open meetings.
But I mean, if other cities can get that kind of money just for extra seating for a farmer's market, I don't see why.
The issue with the city of Franklin and our CDBG Black Grant funding is that we don't meet most of the criteria to get that funding because we're considered a wealthy community. And that causes us ratio issues. Ratio, R-A-T-I-O, just to be clear.
Yes.
That is addressed by these actions, as opposed to farmers market. Be hard. We can work on it, but
okay. Okay, then I'll stop that discussion on this and just. I guess I would like the opinion of the council, other council members, if they want to put this in an order as.
Certainly welcome.
As recommended. Does anyone have any?
Other discussion? Alderwoman Mayor, you...
Oh, I just wanted to clarify that these things that we're talking about now are getting ready for the 2016 budget. Is that what we're...
That's correct.
Okay.
Seeing no discussion on order, all those in favor of the motion, signify by saying... Alderwoman Mayor.
Sorry. So does that mean that College Avenue sidewalk could be done in 2016?
I think we're pushing to get it done yet this year.
Oh.
We want to get it done. So.
Okay.
By the way, the federal government has not allotted the or delivered the cash to the county yet, so we're still hanging out there.
Okay, and then I have a question for Alderwoman Evans.
The chair? You have a question for the chair for Alderwoman Evans? ask your question.
For the chair forum. I trying to understand the sequence that she would want this to go in.
Alderwoman Evans.
I recommend the sequence that's in the motion myself, but if it ends up, but the motion doesn't allude to that, that we have to go in that sequence, and if it came back to our city administrator to choose the sequence, he's not here. I don't know what sequence he would choose.
Well, I'll answer that question. He won't do it arbitrarily. He'll come to us. So, but it's whatever you guys want to do. There is a motion and a seconded.
Yeah.
Alderwoman Mayer asked a question of the chair to Alderwoman Evans, who now has the floor, and
okay.
I'll go back to Alderwoman Mayer. Alderwoman Mayer.
Well, I just wonder if we should just add a little something. I don't know if we can get help from the city attorney to, you know, clarify.
I don't know that we need to. Mr. City Attorney.
As a practical matter, I would suggest simply adding to the motion that the particular itemized, aforesaid itemized expenditures be administered and obtained in that order. However, I am not the CEDG fellow in the city of Franklin, and Mr. Liberta is, and I'd be concerned if I was a council member and Mr. Liberta returned from vacation and said, oh, why did you do that? You can't do that. And now there's going to be questions, and the council will have to look at it again, et cetera, et cetera.
Alderwoman Evans.
But it does say in here we should provide direction.
Well, I think we have provided direction.
Okay. Okay.
There's a motion on the floor as read. And at the bottom of the page, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. City Attorney.
I understood that direction simply went to the, I'll call, refer to them as projects, not in which particular order they went to proceed. Although,
Alderwoman Evans did indicate that the priority list was as listed in the motion. For those of you listening on digits, that's the way it was. Okay, let's move on to item G5, Caleb's Playground Update. Mr.
G8.
City Engineer.
Doing G5 or G8?
G8.
Oh, G8. I'm sorry. I forgot the request. G8, Franklin Pike Bike Trail Update, Mr. City Engineer.
Some time ago, you asked a staff to explore the options for developing the Franklin Hike Bike Trail. This is the trail going from Rawson Avenue, roughly between South North Cape and Forest Home. It crosses Forest Home, it crosses St. Martin, and it goes out to the Muskego city limits. So I'm going to break this up into two sections. One is looking at what does it take to turn the gravel to an asphalt pathway. And the second thing we're going to look at is a trailhead or for some sort of a parking arrangement. For the paving the trail, we thought we ran into a roadblock, but discussions with the city attorney late last week, I think we've got those resolved. The entire trail lies on an easement with We Energies, and we looked at the original easement, and there's a question if we could indeed put a 20 or 25-year facility on an easement that we don't have a full control of. And you can see towards the lower part of that first page, I think the decision has been made, or at least the opinion has been made, that that we can indeed spend our park impact fees on that facility. So part of this project, we could take this out to bid. We think that DPW would spend about $2,000 in materials to, if you will, fluff up the trail, make a nice, smooth surface, and so then we could have a contractor come in behind us and pave an 8-foot-wide trail for roughly $86,000. That deals with the trail issue. The second issue deals with where to put parking. Looking at the site, I think you can see here at the top, we have the Ken Wendell Park is right there. So looking at page 1.5, it's actually a blow-up of the site. There is roughly 30 spaces already at Ken Wendell Park. There's a restroom facility that's open during, if you will, DPW normal operating hours, I believe from 7:30 to 3:30. So it's our opinion that we probably do not need to add parking on this end of the project. As you move your way south, as it gets ready to cross Forest Home, there's a couple locations we could add some parking. We looked at maybe adding just a pull-off in the right-of-way. Keep in mind that this is indeed a county road. There is, you could fit a half dozen spaces or so, but that's not desirable because of the speeds along Forest Home. We'd hate to see a lot of traffic, you know, trying to back out into traffic. Another idea was put forward was maybe looking at the corner of St. Martin Forest Home. There's a vacant lot. Not sure who owns it. We could, actually, I did do some research who owns it, but we did not investigate as to how much this might cost. But did talk to the school district, and the thought is that we would put a parking lot in here that either school buses and or parents could drop kids off. The school would maybe put a fence up on the property line, and the children could enter the school. And the advantage to that is we would clear up a lot of congestion on North Cape Road. If you've been on North Cape Road while school is in the morning or the afternoon when they're letting out, you really have to avoid the area because it's blocked with school buses. So this would provide a nice option for parents to drop off or maybe an alternate for school buses. As long as you're putting something here, there is sewer and water available, so we could, if we wanted to, maybe put a restroom facility. Again, that would be up to your discretion if you just want parking or actually make it a full-fledged trailhead. Another option, as you cross the Forest Home and come down to St. Martin's Road, remember that we are working with the county to improve St. Martin's Road. There is sufficient right-of-way. We could maybe look at, as part of their project, and the city would pay our proportionate share for these areas, but maybe add some 90-degree parking in this area. On both sides of the street, it appears to be less congested on the north side. You could do it. There's some very nice oak trees. We could stay out of those and actually come up and touch the trail. And then question on some wetland issues, but there is a possibility of maybe some parking on the south side underneath existing power lines. As you continue past there, St. Martin's Road, obviously you would cross the substation. And as you cross Forest Home and North Cape, I really don't see any desirable locations to put another set of parking areas there. So as far as the trailhead issue, I guess when we come to you, we have a couple recommendations. One is to direct staff to bid the asphalt paving of the existing trail. And another option or addition to that is to ask staff to incorporate the project into the county project for St. Martin Road. I think that's appropriate. And also direct staff to enter discussions with the Franklin School District. Again, I talked to Dr. Patz. He's not opposed to the idea. He'd like to, you know, see how that would work and the financial costs, but it would be something he'd be willing to continue to talk about. And then I guess have staff report progress in future council.
Okay. I sit in the middle chair. I get the first kick of the cat.
Sure.
My issue with putting a restroom in is that's more maintenance, more responsibility for the city, and I'm not sure it's really necessary given the proximity to Ken Wendell Park. Like it or not, St. Martin the Tourist Church, also used for that. Or you could do what I do, right all the way down to Muskego and go to Culver's. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? So, anyway. It's at the end of the trail.
Oh, okay.
Knock it off. God, you guys can't leave it alone. can you? My preference for parking would be on St. Martin's Road. It keeps it under our control, doesn't cloud it up with multi-jurisdiction other than the county. We can do it quick, no muss, no fuss. Alderman Wilhelm has her hand up.
Well, that brought up another question. Clarify where you mean on St. Martin's Road.
I'll take one out, Gary.
Oh, okay. I didn't know which one showed it. Well, when you were showing the parking, I didn't realize that the blue blocks on here were, Glenn, were suggested potential parking until I saw your map, because the words aren't over the top of them. So I was looking at it as these blocks next to what we were looking at putting the parking. So your idea to work with the county are these smaller areas, right?
Yeah, I don't like the potential parking along the roadway that I show on page 2.5.
Okay.
But the page 3.5, and again, I think the one on the north side is most likely. There's a lot of wasted space on the south side, but again, there may be wetland issues that we have to stay away from. But I would entertain a look at both of them, and if we can afford to do both of them, that would be more parking spaces. If not, you know, we just have the north side.
Are you able to point on that larger map up there, that intersection where the two of them come together, and then the relationship to how far it is from downtown? I can see where they all come together. So I'm looking at the relationship to downtown St. Martin's and how these parking lots would assist or not really assist.
They're a little west.
Okay. So what is...
This is the St. Martin's, the trail across the St. Martin's that we talked about?
The downtown where they have the... the event every
year. Oh, the downtown events, right?
Yeah, okay. And then the proposed parking lots are how far about?
Two blocks wide. There isn't blocks there, but it's 2 blocks west.
Oh, three. This is only 2 blocks from there?
If you look at this,
you know where the power lines cut across.
Downtown, right down here. So it doesn't look like much, but it's still a couple blocks. Mm-hmm.